Welcome to this episode of the Manage to Track podcast. This episode is going to be somewhat different than what you usually get on the podcast. What I want to share with you today is a conversation that I had with three learning and development leaders on the topic of how to best support first-time managers as they are transitioning into their first leadership role. Now, whether you are a manager who is managing and supporting other managers, and some of them might be first-time managers, or whether you personally are a first-time manager, this conversation is going to be equally insightful. We're going to talk about different strategies and ways to support first-time managers, but we're also going to cover a range of different competencies and skills or focus areas that we suggest first-time managers pay attention to in their first 3, 6, up to 12 months on the job. This panel conversation originally took place as a LinkedIn Live, but I wanted to share this with you because oftentimes I share my own perspective with you on the podcast, but I wanted to bring in some other voices and different perspectives and opinions on how to best support leaders with their leadership development. And with that said, I hope you enjoy listening to this conversation as much as I enjoyed being part of it and get some really useful and practical suggestions out of it. Let's dive in and welcome the panel to the Manage to Track podcast. Here's the question. How do you successfully transition into your first official leadership role, build the confidence and competence to lead your team successfully, and establish yourself as a respected and trusted leader across the organization? That's the question, and this show provides the answers. Welcome to the Manage to Track podcast. I'm your host, Ramona Shaw, and I'm on a mission to create workplaces where work is not seen as a source of stress and dread, but as a source of contribution, connection, and fulfillment. And this transition starts with developing a new generation of leaders who know how to lead so everyone wins and grows. In this show, you learn how to think, communicate, and act as the confident and competent leader you know you can be. Wonderful. Welcome to this HR panel on supporting your first-time strategies as first-time managers and very specific success strategies. I have three fabulous HR leaders with me here today, Daniela, Claudia, and Meredith. So thank you so much for being with us and for having this conversation that I think, gosh, you know, scream from the rooftop. This is important. I know you all see it the same way. I'd like to dive in right away with our first question. Transitioning into leadership is a big step. I call this one of the biggest transitions that most of us experience inside of our career or in our careers. What, from your perspective on the L&D side, supporting new managers, what do you believe is one of those common challenges that you see that makes it hard for individual contributors, ICs, to transition into leadership? And as you do, also please give us a quick introduction. Meredith, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, I would love to. So hi, everyone. I'm Meredith Murray, and I am currently a performance coach based in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. So shout out. In my former life, I've been a director of L&D in HR, people ops, and also have a bit of a background in sales too. So when I've, from my experience, from people transitioning from, say, like an individual contributor into a leadership position, there's a couple of challenges that do come up, and it's quite common. The first one really is around transitioning from being a peer, maybe with some of your colleagues, to now a leader. And that can be a bit of a challenge, as well as honing in on those soft skills. Sometimes those soft skills aren't fully developed as an IC, and you're kind of expected to do that. We can talk a little bit more about what those are. And then also just like making sure you understand the expectations of this new role that you're going into. Sometimes that's not clearly laid out from the organization or from other teams as well.
Yes. Amen to that.
Yeah.
Daniela, how about you?
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Daniela. I'm from Mexico City, and I work as a head of people at DD360. And from my observations, the same as Meredith, I totally agree, transformation in the team relationship, because they must to navigate the ship from being colleagues to leading those teams. And the second that I have seen is time management and prioritization with an influx of new tasks. For sure, they need to master delegation. And third, decision making and conflict resolution They need to develop a strong analytical and problem-solving skills. These skills are very crucial to tackle all the challenge that they will be facing in the future.
I love that you mentioned this because one is the analytical skills, but then also executing and communicating decisions that they know not everyone is going to like. And that can be tricky for first-time managers. Right.
Yeah.
Claudia, how about you?
Yeah. So hi, everyone. This is Claudia Corleto. I am out of Los Angeles, California. I am part of Entertainment Partners. I've been doing this for 10 years. The leading part, though, the managing leading teams or stumbling as a new manager, I've been doing for a little bit longer than that. Prior to what I do now, I was 10 years in the call center environment. So I did collections for about 10 years, which was nice and fun. And this is where I stumbled a lot with this one, with the challenges faced by first-time managers. And I still see it today. Yes, absolutely. Transitioning from individual contributor to manager, that's a big responsibility. I'm going to echo on that too. I think piling on a lot of the work, not knowing what work needs to be handed down or passed along to someone else. I think that becomes very stressful for new managers. You take on a lot of new responsibilities and you don't know where to put those old responsibilities. So I think that comes with conversations with your own managers about expectations. The other thing that I have seen that has been an ongoing challenge is finding your bearings when you're building trust. Building trust with a team is essential. It is the first thing. It is the foundation of team building. And it's often the last thing that we think about because we're thinking about those responsibilities as new managers, the coordinating, the assigning, the reviewing work that we seldomly think about the leadership aspect. And that's the building trust, that it starts with us as new managers, that we got to give a little bit of ourselves in order to get back from our people too. And then while you're doing that, the other thing I would add on is the accountability. Accountability to yourself, accountability to your people, holding up the mirror very early on to yourself to determine where am I at with my leadership skills? Where do I need some upskilling? Because it is a new role. It's not something that you've been doing for a while. It's something that you're either landing in, that you earned, whatever the case may be. The building trust and the accountability are the two that I find are what are some of the biggest challenges when it comes to someone being in a new manager position.
Mm-hmm. Claudia, that you're mentioning the putting up that mirror. I think the tricky part is that when someone gets promoted into a leadership role for the first time, they feel like they need to perform from day one. They know everyone's looking at them and all eyes are on them. And it can feel really uncomfortable to then say, okay, but I'm not really there yet. It's almost like we have to pretend and really believe that we can do it to show up as competent and confident. And we don't, especially from maybe an HR perspective, but also from higher leadership or senior leadership, to say it's okay for you to not know this. This is a learning journey and acknowledging that this is going to be a process.
Yes. And I think this is where I struggled the most when I first was promoted into a supervisor position, that I had a lot of eyes on me, a team. I think I started with a team of 7 people and I thought they need to think I know what I'm doing. And I had no idea what I was doing because just yesterday I was doing a different job. Mm-hmm. So I think it's okay for new managers to ask their own managers follow-up questions. What are the skills that you would like to see? What are the skills that you found that were important for my promotion that you know I can continue to do? And what are the things that you would like to see during the next 90 days? Give yourself a little bit of time first to learn when do I manage, when do I lead, before you go in and try to figure everything out. Because that's impossible for anyone in a leadership position to learn everything at once.
Absolutely. We talked about in this initial question here, we talked about a wide range of topics from very tactical things such as learning how to prioritize or manage time differently with an increased scope of responsibilities to trust, which is a lot more of one of those relationship skills or soft skills. And because so much that the span of things new managers have to learn is so wide, what, in your opinion, is a good framework or channel or format for leadership training for first-time managers? What have you found to work well?
I think there are so many avenues that we can take as first-time managers to build on our learning. We have LinkedIn Learning. We have courses. Really, the starting point would be that conversation. Your one-on-ones with your leadership, with your managers, as a new manager. Again, what are the things that I need to know? What are the things that I don't know? What are the things that you think I'm good at? And then start taking it resource by resource. There are books that I have found very helpful, but there's also the resources of those who are doing the job well. What are the things that they are recommending? Otherwise, you're going to get stuck looking for resources, in my opinion. But when you look at someone who's doing the job well, you can say that manager has been extremely successful, or that's a manager that I really appreciate and I like what they're doing. Go and ask them, what are the things that you have been doing? Where do you get your learning from? I find it very helpful to hear from those that have been doing it well, and they provide you a list of resources. So you don't have to start from scratch.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Meredith, how about you're going to add there too?
Yeah, definitely tapping into your network is a huge key to kind of just like asking others of how they've kind of developed their leadership journey. I'm a really strong believer in leadership is a strength that we need to build on daily. It's not just like a one and done, like, oh, I took this course and I'm like the perfect leader. No, it's like something you need to kind of strengthen. So it's like, what are the top skills that you want to like to improve on or to level up within your idea of what leadership is, right? So really kind of understanding that. And then there's so many different avenues that you can do that. And I love mixing different mediums of learning. So because we all learn in different ways. So whether that be an interactive workshop or a discussion group or working one-on-one with a coach or just having a conversation or taking an e-learning course or enrolling into some type of education. There's tons of resources, but I think it's really understanding what are the skills that you really want to develop and what is your time frame, and then kind of going from there. Some top skills that I know a lot of new leaders kind of want to try to acquire, the easiest thing is just putting it into practice right away. So one of them is classic, just listen, right? So how do you embody listening into your everyday as a new manager? There's so many other ones of those, but it's just the idea of practicing it in real life, as well as getting like the education aspect as well.
Yeah. Daniela, what is your point of view here?
For me, super important after you get this promotion to get feedback and you have a starting point. So you know what type of courses or if you need mentorship or maybe an extensive library or reading books and so on and so forth, or have an specific training in a specific skill. So we, in my experience, we need to have this starting point and then have this like roadmap where you need to develop that type of a skill and then start to immerse yourself in different ways of learning.
And speaking of immersive ways of learning, one of the formats that can help first-time managers would be to have a supportive network of other leaders where they're really having those management roundtables, so to speak, and can talk about some of the challenges that come up in their leadership roles. Who has experience or has experiences running those or setting those up or even being part of it and can share what that looks like?
Yeah, definitely. I've kind of done different aspects of that as someone who's organizing those types of meetups, but also someone that was a leader and kind of needed it. And I just kind of generated it myself. I think the really important thing when you do that is making sure that there's the same level as managers in the same room. So for example, if I was a leader, I wouldn't want to have, say, my direct boss or my direct report in the same conversation. You want to kind of have an even playing field so that everyone is at the same level so they can speak freely. It's a bit more of a secure space. And they're probably dealing with the same types of problems that you're dealing with. That's always really great. It's even great if you can pair in, say, someone who to facilitate is either someone on HR or in learning and development, just to kind of nudge and maybe even push and ask questions to kind of expand that knowledge. as well. They're very powerful, though. I highly recommend.
I've done coffee chats where it's kind of just open session. But to your point, too, when you have someone else there that's either seems like the facilitator or their manager, people may be more restrictive with themselves. I saw a group of managers do this beautifully at my previous company where they gathered together and they were having discussions. I think at that type of group, though, that self-awareness is important because that group of managers, they knew what they knew as a group and they knew what they didn't know. And then the things that they would talk about where they couldn't answer certain things themselves, they would tag someone else in. They would ask me, what resources do you have on this? Because this is what we're talking about and we would love to hear from you or get some resources from you. They would tag in other leaders too. It was still that core group of managers that would meet up and you know, have some fun discussions, but they were pretty good at tagging in people that would be able to help them because they knew, again, the things that they needed help with. But that is done because it's done in partnership with other people. You have to build a trust. Like for us as L&D leaders, we need to build that trust with those managers so that they feel comfortable enough to come to us and ask us for resources and ask us questions or even ask us to participate.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. I think there is what I'm hearing from the two of you is it works well when structured well, right? Or when the fundamental level of trust and safe space can be granted so people can speak freely. And that's really where the gold lies with those kind of interactions or formats. Yeah.
That psychological safety is important for managers.
Yeah. With any of the training programs, and earlier when I asked what formats you've used or what do you recommend, we had a range of different things. What is often challenging from, you know, an outside perspective, and I look at L&D supporting their first-time managers, there is it's a hard path to find measurable, trackable data that then will support or give insight into whether a certain initiative was successful or not. Because a lot of the investments that we make are investments that will pay off over a long time period. It's not like we're accomplishing some milestone that we can track. At the end of 3 months, all this will happen for everyone. We're all on our own individual learning journeys. What would you recommend as a way for L&D to track the success of their current programs or the ways that they're supporting their first-time managers? And maybe, Daniela, we can start with you.
Okay, so as D360 is a disruptive company, so all the tools that we have are now integrated with AI. So how we are tracking all the progress of the first 10 managers and so on and so forth is with AI. So we have been some chats where we are analyzing all the conversations that they have with their team members and also with their leaders. And also we are tracking if they are having these one-on-ones and all the progress inside the team. So that's how we are tackling with these new tools. But also, in my experience, I have tracking with some tools where the new manager is assessing himself and also the team members and all this feedback, 360 feedback that we know.
Yep. And that 360 feedback, especially when it's the quantifiable questions that we see beginning and end with a benchmark, those can be really powerful.
Yes, it's super powerful to have the quantitative and qualitative, all the insights.
Right. And I love that you brought up the AI, so I'm sure we're going to jump back to that here in a minute. Ardia, how about you?
I like to work backwards. I like to take that consulting approach. I can throw an LMS in there, I can throw another tool. But really, you need to know what the end goal is. I find that partnering with senior leadership to understand the current state of the business, the goals of the organization, and what skills are needed to get there, followed by how will we know that this is successful will help you begin to even think about, how do I gauge the success of this, right? What metrics can I use? But I think most importantly, too, we need to remember that each manager may be in a different area of the business where their metrics that we're planning for everyone may not apply to them. Some managers, it's easier for us to measure their success very early on, while for others, not so much. I've seen departments where their managers are still, their function is manager, but they're still working as individual contributors. So their success may take a little bit longer than someone who is automatically promoted and they're able to do their management tasks. So I would start off more with questions before I determine the metrics, but I will echo that those 360 feedback surveys, once you know what you're looking for or how soon we're expecting to see those results, we're able to bring in the 360 tools, bring in focus groups, bring in any measurement that we have to begin to measure the success of any programs that we have or any work that managers are doing. But I definitely think it starts with that partnership with senior leadership before determining what tool works best here. Because I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all even for one company. One manager might be doing something completely different than another.
Mm-hmm. Meredith.
Yeah, these are all really kind of great thoughts around, like, how do you measure the success? And I really like the approach of, like, kind of going backwards, like, what is success and what is our end goal? But I think really the key is a couple of things just to kind of add to these existing points is really, like, what is your benchmark? So, like, where are you kind of starting off from? And a lot of organizations will use this as, like, just their basic engagement survey that they maybe send out. Pick a couple of those metrics to kind of be their benchmark and then be like, hey, we want to actually increase this. And what does that look like? Integrate this into your performance management program, whatever that might be, right? So people need to know, like, these are the skills that I'm being kind of measured against in my individual performance, and just kind of understanding what those are. And then it will provide more context as well as, like, what our skills gap or anything like that, where L&D can kind of come in to kind of improve, right? So it's kind of a mixture of all of these teams kind of working together, HR, L&D, stakeholders, department heads, all kind of working together to really understanding and, like, what are you going to do with that data? Once you have it, it can be a really great case to kind of add to your existing learning stack to kind of improve certain areas where maybe you're lacking. Another really good call out too is 360, if it's too intense or takes too much time, another really simple thing is just having peer review of managers. So individuals manage or do feedback on their managers, and it can be in an open forum. It can also be anonymous. It's a really great way for those first-time managers to get direct feedback on how they can improve, and it can be a little bit faster as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that you're calling out the performance management system and how important it is to integrate it. I speak often with companies who say, you know, we want to do this, or someone in HR will say, we want to do this for our first-time managers. And then when I ask more about the buy-in from the supervisors or the managers to those first-time managers or senior leadership overall, it's as if they're not part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. And it makes it hard to align incentives than for the new managers to know all my effort into not just learning the new job, the tactical stuff, but also investing in my leadership development will be rewarded and recognized. And that is part of how my performance will be measured at the end of the year. And if that's not part of the conversation, then any initiative for first-time managers will be harder to produce results, my experience.
Yeah, definitely.
So we quickly touched on AI there. I'm going to shift the conversation a little bit into the future trends or emerging trends that we see. From your experiences, what, not just on the technological side, although we can get to that, but also more broadly speaking, what are some emerging trends that you're observing that impact first-time managers and anyone either supporting first-time managers on their teams or in HR functions working with first-time managers that you think should definitely be on their horizon or in their purview? Let's start with Claudia.
Yeah, I think there's so much that we're looking ahead at that's happening now. One of the things I would say is for first-time managers, leading and understanding different generations. Mm. You know, we again, there is no one size fits all. And that applies also to the people that are in our teams, or even if it's one person, there could be a generational difference. Understanding that what matters to me is not the same thing that matters to the next person. Our values or upbringing, everything is very different. I think that's one of the things that we need to consider from here on out, right? And it's been there before where we're leading different generations, but it's coming too. We have a new generation entering the workforce. And what does it mean for them? What are the things that they care about? What are the things that are important to them? The other thing I would say, virtual and hybrid leading. Right now, a lot of companies are up in the air with, what are we going to do with our offices? Is it fully remote? Am I leading hybrid teams? What do our hybrid teams look like? With our introductions earlier, even before this call, we realized we are in different time zones. We're in different locations. We're all over the world. And our first-time managers can be leading teams that are virtual, that are hybrid, that are 100% remote, that are in other countries. And are we equipping them with the right tools for them to successfully lead these teams? So you have not just those are just two examples, right? The generational differences. How do I maneuver through that? But there's also the tools and the timing. And here we're virtual here. We're not in person. How does this impact the way that I'm leading the next team or the next person or my one-on-one?
Right. And it for sure impacts it and changes it. We've proven.
Oh, yeah.
Meredith, you want to go next?
Yeah, definitely. So in terms of emerging trends in the L&D space, there's a couple of like kind of buzzwords that have been floating around. And I find them actually really powerful when you integrate them into learning programs. So the first one is micro learnings. I don't know if you've heard of this. It's kind of like snippets and small bites and pieces that you can kind of get. And it's a way for you to kind of learn something new, challenge yourself, and then also to kind of build on a longer skill, which is always really great. And then the other one is everboarding. We all know about onboarding is when we bring on new people, but this whole idea of always everboarding and teaching and learning new skills over a long period of time. So some of these leadership skills are soft skills. You can't really do it by just like one piece of training or one workshop. It needs to be multiple things over a certain amount of time. So a lot of organizations are investing in everboarding, which allows for individuals to kind of go in. Sometimes it's a lot of repeat content, places where you can kind of practice and learn. But I find that those are really powerful. And if you blend them together as well as other modes of learning, you can really, really increase your chances on people actually like absorbing that information and putting it into practice, which is great.
You know, when we think about hearing something multiple times, even in our personal lives, we do need to hear it sometimes multiple times until it clicks or until we're ready to make a change or for us to actually be invested in the change process. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Daniela.
For emerging technologies, I will say what I have seen in my experience is simulations with VR, immersive scenarios for critical thinking and decision making in a safe environment. Also in Delete 360, we recruit in the metaverse. So we have avatars interviewing based on AI. So we don't have to have this more in person experience. So we can avoid some biases that the people can have, like humans. And one of the skills that I will say that are linked with the emerging technologies is to have adaptability, because the new managers and all, we need to navigate the fast-paced change in today's business landscape.
Mm-hmm. That is fascinating. So you're recruiting in the metaverse. I don't think anyone would put that on a panel.
Yeah, we were pioneers because in here they are everyone like saying like you can have everything you have in your imagination having materials here. So we are doing crazy things.
That's amazing. And I'm sure we can have a quick chat in the comments below over on LinkedIn too on what kind of tools you're using or any other follow-up questions people might have about
for sure
technological use. as we're wrapping up, what is something that we haven't talked about yet, but you think is really important as a success strategy to help first-time managers lead and rise into their first leadership role successfully? Let's go backwards. Daniela, let's start with you.
There. prepare for the rise. I will say of remote workforces, as Meredith said, and digital transformation, but by training managers in virtual leadership, cross-cultural communication, and digital agility, and also having all this training on emerging technologies. I will say that.
Sweet. Awesome. Meredith.
I think we kind of touched on it lightly. Claudia kind of brought it up, but definitely psychological safety is kind of like your foundation as a first-time manager. It's really establishing that on your team. And really what that means is a space and an environment where you are able to kind of go outside the box, and it's okay if you make mistakes and you're not going to be reprimanded by kind of taking risks and doing things a little bit differently and potentially not doing so well, right? It's really important to kind of do that, because when you do that, you're fostering autonomy as well as building trust within your team. Now, establishing psychological safety can take some time. And there's a couple of just really basic human things that we can kind of do as first-time managers to kind of establish that on your team. So a couple of them is the skill of just listening. As an individual contributor, you're probably the one speaking up a lot and giving all the answers. And now you have to kind of switch gears and be the one kind of sitting, listening, and understanding, and then asking the questions. The other one is pretty simple, but sometimes it's hard for us to do, is just being present, especially if you're on a one-on-one in a meeting. It is a huge, powerful tool to build that trust and that underlying psychological safety. And then the last one is leading by example. Right? So you kind of want to be leading as if everyone is watching you, and you want to ensure that you're doing things in public spaces that you wouldn't want your team to be doing as well. So just a couple of really simple things you can just take into action right away, but it's the practice of it that definitely takes it and it can also elevate it to your leadership skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for sharing that and emphasizing the importance of psychological safety. Claudia. Let's wrap it up.
Yeah. Wrap it up. Two things that I was hoping we would get into, we didn't, but are near and dear to my heart. The first one is owning your development. Mm. Going back to early on in our conversation, you mentioned not knowing, right? But expecting that you're going to know everything. I would encourage new people managers to really ask themselves, why am I putting this much pressure on myself? And owning that part of your development and really seeing, like, if someone's expecting you to know this, and instead of asking yourself, why don't I know this, is where would I have seen this and why would I know this? Let me go and learn it. Let me go ask questions. Let me ask the people who have been doing this job for a long time. Let me find a book or find a course or find something on this one topic that I'm having trouble with. Not waiting for someone to tell you what to learn, because that's on you. You know what you need to learn, but you also know the things that you don't know. So you can take it up by yourself and own your development that way. That I wish someone would have told me when I started leading people. I wish someone would have told me, hey, you have free range on your own learning. It would have saved me a lot of trouble. The other thing is emotional intelligence, doing the work and learning first, what is it, right? It's the self-awareness, the self-management, self-awareness and relationship management. Emotional intelligence is so important, and it surprises me even now that a lot of people don't know what it is or what it means or why they should know this. And I understand, because again, why would I know this if no one's introduced me to it? But really, when you get down to the work that you need to do for yourself and for other people, emotional intelligence is a great place to start. And it starts with you being aware of the things that you don't know about yourself, the things you know to be true, and the things that you know that you just, there's no way that I'm going to know this and I'm going to need to reach out for help. And that's what the relationship building comes in. So those are the two things that I would say. Own your development and learn about emotional intelligence.
Gosh, yeah. I second all of what was shared here, and love that you call out one, the owning your development. I think when we recognize we're either in a new role, have a new responsibility, or dealing with some challenges in unknown territory, that this is going to be a growth curve. And we don't have to struggle through it all alone. There are resources and there are plenty of ways that we can get support and understand what do's and don'ts may help us or are important to know. Thank you for sharing your wisdoms, your insights in terms of supporting new managers and first-time managers going through this transition, the transformation. Learning how to be really good as an expert is very different than being good in emotional intelligence and understanding that there is a complete shift in how we think about what makes us successful in a IC role versus in a leadership role and what are those skill gaps. And emotional intelligence is definitely one of them that we've got to fill. And we've talked about many, many others. I'm going to recap them, create a short summary of this as well, because I think this was really insightful and powerful. Thank you for spending the time with us today live on this panel. I appreciate you and look forward to having us connect further over on LinkedIn.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
If you enjoyed this episode, then check out two other awesome resources to help you become a leader people love to work with. This includes my best-selling book, The Confident and Competent New Manager, which you can find on Amazon or at ramonashaw.com/book, and a free training on how to successfully lead as a new manager. You can check it out at ramonashaw.com/masterclass. These resources and a couple more you'll find in the show notes down below.